Hey guys, welcome back to the Not Without Merit podcast, first week in May. I am Jake, with me is Mike.
What is up everybody, and joining us as always is Ben.
Hey everyone.
Welcome back everybody for another rousing week of video game playing, and there has been a decent amount. I am getting closer to the end of Cuphead. I think I'm on the third to last fight, second to last. I'm in the end of World 3, and still very sad that this game is about to be over soon. Definitely got more challenging in World 3. I wouldn't say it was a spike. It's been a nice, gradual difficulty increase throughout the game, which is really nice to see, because a lot of games seem to have a problem with just random difficulty spikes all over the damn place these days. So it's nice to kind of watch that game get progressively tougher as I get, like, progressively, you know, somewhat better at the game. But still loving it, still fantastic. It's definitely a lock for, like, my top 10 this year. No question about it. So, yeah, but once I get through that, I'll probably take a run at Expert, at least to see how much harder it is, but I'm not making any promises that I will play through on Expert or go for, like, 100%. Just that does not seem fun way to play that game whatsoever. But other than Cuphead, I have been playing the new fancy Mortal Kombat 11 that is out on just about every platform known to man. It's very good. I have not touched the story mode yet. For whatever reason, I just kind of wanted to jump into the actual fighting and tutorials and just kind of get my feet wet, because I haven't played a Mortal Kombat game forever before I was constantly getting my ass kicked in the story. That tutorial is crazy deep. Like, I have never seen a fighting game tutorial with that amount of depth before. Like, they're talking about, like, the frames of each move. Like, okay, this is how many frames this attack takes before it connects, and then this is how many frames after the attack that you can't move, and, you know, how to, like, set up your moves based on frames and, like, frame-perfect blocks, and here's all these, like, super advanced techniques that just, like, totally went right over my head. I mean, this, if you ever wanted to, like, dive deep into, like, the, like, core mechanics of a fighting game, this tutorial is, I would say, second to none. I mean, even, like, you know, that was the one thing I definitely criticized Tekken 7 for, was their tutorial was, here's a practice mode, and here's a move list, and go. Not actually, like, teaching you the fundamentals of the game. This one does all
that. Did they have, like, that grid room? Because Injustice 2 did that, and it was, like, how many spaces away on the grid you were from somebody to kind of line up your attacks.
Tutorial room. It just kind of threw you in a random arena.
Well, I mean, at least you learn the environments that way, but still, yeah.
It teaches you about, yeah, like, spacing. Like, you just kind of, like, these boxes on the ground, as if I was, like, to determine the...
That's what Injustice 2 did,
far, you know, it determined, yeah, your spacing from your opponent and everything, but... Yeah, it's a great tutorial to just, like, teach you how that game works. And after that, I jumped into the towers. This is basically the, what's it called? The multiverse from Injustice 2. Same concept now in this. It's called Towers of Time. Same thing. You know, it's, you know, random towers. Some are hourly, daily, weekly, and, you know, randomly generated. They have, you know, random rewards tied to them. Well, not random rewards. It seems like the rewards are kind of grouped together. It's like, oh, here's a set of items specifically for, you know, one character, and then there's a couple random items at the end. And then how these, you know, work, there's a difficulty tied to them, a certain amount of enemies you have to beat, and there's usually some modifier in the fight, and they range from, like, oh, this character can activate, like, a tag and bring in someone else to help, or there's going to be some random bullshit that flies in from off screen and can hit you and blah blah blah. At launch, this was like a nightmare, because the AI was not only, like, on the base level, the AI was tough to beat on its own. Add in all the extra modifier bullshit, some of these towers were, like, damn near impossible to take on. Fortunately, like, the community all, like, noticed this very quickly, and then within a few days, there's already been, like, a balance patch on the towers, and they're way more manageable. I mean, there are some still give you somewhat of a challenge, but I feel like now it's definitely more of a fair fight than it was before, because especially now, all the modifiers only apply to you. Like, all the stuff that can fly in off screen, et cetera, can only affect you. None of it affects the AI whatsoever. So to counteract that, there's a bunch of consumables that kind of give you those same items, but they're consumables, so you have to use them up. I've amassed a shit ton of them already through just wandering the crypt, which came back from 10, and just, like, random rewards. So it doesn't seem like they're going to be much of an issue to come across, but you kind of don't want to waste them because, you know, you're going to want to save them for truly challenging battles. But I'm enjoying it a lot so far. The crypt is really cool. They brought that back from 10. It's a lot more in-depth than the one in 10. There's a lot more kind of, like, secrets and Easter eggs, and it's way more detailed, and there's a lot more to it than the one in 10. So I probably spent almost, like, 2 hours just kind of, like, wandering and exploring and unlocking areas of it, and I still haven't seen it all yet, so I'll be definitely spending more time in the crypt, and then I will probably start up the story this week. I don't really have much else on my plate at the moment, and the story of that, I know it's probably not terribly long. I'm sure I can finish it over the weekend, so I'm not expecting.
Is there anything locked behind story?
There's one character that unlocks, I think it's at chapter 4 of the story unlocks. Other than that, I know there's a bunch of, like, cosmetics you get throughout the story, but as far as, like, true content, it's just one character. And
when you say cosmetics, is it the same system as the Injustice thing with the gear and the point?
Yeah, there's
three gear
slots for each character, and then with the gears, there's augments, which the gear itself is cosmetic.
Okay.
It's the augments of the gear. That's where you get, like, your 5% XP and blah, blah, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So,
do they have, like, sets and stuff that you can get to and stuff like that?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything that, like, gives you any set bonus. Like, oh, if you have all three of these pieces, you get a little extra. I don't know if that's in the game, because I haven't... Well, I've gotten gear, but of course, how this always tends to work. I never get it for the characters I'm using. I got plenty of gear for all the characters.
Yeah, because it's a random try. Yeah.
Unfortunately, not for the characters I've been going with. So, I haven't spent too much time with the gear. That was more of like a... You know, I'm just going to play for a while, and then once I notice I start getting gear for the people I play as, then I'll kind of dive into it. So I haven't spent too much time with the whole gear.
You also seem to be playing it the right way, where it's just taking in how good the game is, and in kind of... I mean, this game got shit on a lot for a lot of the how grindy it is, and I get that. A lot of people don't enjoy that grind, and they did say that they're patching that out, or they're patching it to make it... a little bit easier. But honestly, like, if you're going to play a fighting game, I'm not defending it either way, but in my opinion, like, if you're going to play a fighting game for a couple weeks and you're not really going to get into the grind, then it's just that shouldn't concern you. If you're going to grind it, then you're going to grind it anyway, so it's not a problem.
Yeah,
like,
it's all, like, cosmetics and, like, all those ability things only apply to versus AI, and I don't even know if they apply in, like, casual play. I know they definitely don't in ranked, like, play, but I don't even know if they apply in, like,
right, ranked
play.
Is straight
so,
up character versus,
like,
character.
I mean, there's probably lots of people that don't even care about any of that, because they're just like, all right, I'm gonna jump into ranked play, and that's all I do in these games is just play against other people, so the towers mean nothing to me. So yeah, you're not having any, like, ability, like, the only thing, well, not even that, because it's just like in 10, where your second fatality is technically locked in the crypt. It just basically, that means it doesn't show you the combination in the move list. You can still perform it if you just go online and look up what the fatality is. You just can't go to your move list and see what the combination is. So it's like, there's nothing.
So is there actually anything of worth? Like, no characters, no actual moves or anything locked behind? All right, so then it doesn't matter.
Chapter 4 of the story, and then everything else is cosmetic or, like, the gear augment base. So it's nothing of,
if it's just an intense grind that sucks, then it's not it shouldn't affect people's opinion of how good or bad the game is.
And I feel like that first patch was already a huge step in the right direction, so it's, they're definitely listening, and I haven't spent enough time, like, in the crypt or anything to determine, like, all right, what's my earn rate versus what I'm unlocking. I think a lot of people are upset at the fact that the crypt now is random, whereas in 10, you could, like, look up a guide and figure out what every chest gives you and every location it is. Now, it's random for each person. So
it's loot boxes. Right, I mean, all games are going in this direction.
They just turn
the
crypt into like a fancy loot box generator rather than just
which sucks, but it doesn't make the game bad. I mean, it just kind of is unfortunate.
Right. I mean, without the like tower stuff, like I would play this game for the story, and I might play a couple games online, and that would be it because I'm not someone that plays fighting games online because that's not kind of my skill set with fighting games is not there. So someone like me is like, the towers are grindy. It's like, all right, I'm going to be playing the towers a lot, and I don't care because a lot of the shit doesn't matter anyways. So I'm just playing the towers because I like having something new to do against the AI rather than just like going to like a here, pick a fighter and just do versus mode against AI. That's kind of boring. So having a lot
that seems more grindy to me than having to unlock the loot boxes. Right. So if you're playing that way already,
I think it was if it was reviewed again with the current balance pass, I think people would be a lot less critical of it. I think it was extreme when the game launched. Like I was getting to the point where I was like, I don't think I'm going to be playing towers at all because it was so fucking hard. Like against the player, like it was so unfairly balanced against you that it just felt like, okay, these are medium towers, and I'm just getting destroyed. Like, it's not even, like, a close fight. It's like, medium, I know I should be at least somewhat challenged, but it should be beatable. Like, these didn't even feel beatable. So, like I said, the balance...
Good on them for patching it that quick.
Yes, I think they really... And not to mention, they patched it, they gave, like, they gave you a bunch of currency as well on top of that. So, it's, They're listing. They're already making strides towards improving the game. So, I have faith they're going to continue down that path. But other than Mortal Kombat, I've got nothing really going on. I know that Blackout had that new update, so I'll be checking that out soon. PUBG, I'm just kind of patiently waiting for the next Survivor Pass, which should be within the next week or two. So I'll definitely be diving very deep on that once that comes out. But, that's all I got this week.
Ben?
I'm kind of right there with Mike. There wasn't a whole lot to... play this week, I guess. I'm still working through Assassin's Creed. Got up to around level 40 this week.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'm cruising through, but it's not that I'm just focusing on the main story. It's just because there's an infinite amount of things to do in C. So,
how many hours are you up to now?
Oh, I forgot to look, but I'm sure I'm pushing 45 to 50 hours at this point.
I think it averaged out for me about like one hour per level, roughly. So
those levels really start to slow down once you hit like mid-30s, but yeah, that was about what it was for me too.
I have played a ton of this the last couple days, so
I saw you on all weekend playing it.
Yeah,
it's a great game, really fun environment to explore.
It is, and a lot of the stories are interesting, and they did a good job with the content. Greece is full of history and craziness, so it's nice that it got the Assassin's Creed treatment. We also played a lot of Overwatch this weekend.
How'd that go?
Very well.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we played it almost all day Saturday.
Damn.
It's Overwatch. New characters, some new maps.
Is it still toxic as fuck?
I don't know. We were just doing quick play in the arcade stuff. So I think we played like one.
That
or
was
two
my worst memory about that
real
game.
Communication with the
fair
freedom,
enough.
So
yeah, we won some, we lost some. No big deal.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's the same Overwatch from before, for better or worse. It's kind of. I mean, I don't know. I don't think they need to shake that game up, but in the same way, it's almost like it's still the same game, but I don't know. I don't think they should change it. It's just, I don't know. It didn't feel fresh to me. It was like, since we stopped playing in what, like over a year ago, it's like, okay, there's like two new people and there's one or two new maps.
There was quite a few. There was
the wrecking
hamster
ball. Yeah, and there then was, the combat medic were the two newest.
There was
newest.
The cowboy lady.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Ash. Okay, so there was those three new ones. But, yeah, everyone else still...
Did you play since Doomfist? had been released?
Yeah, I think.
Brigitte or Moira were the was the last character.
Yeah, it was kind of.
Oh yeah, her.
Slowed down.
But it was fun. I mean, I think I just watched, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those rare games I actually got rid of, which is funny because I never get rid of any game. I think I probably just rage sold that. So
don't blame
it's just one of those games that I just...
It can do that.
Yeah. Way. It's just weird because I never get rid of games. But and I honestly thought I had that digitally, but when Ben asked me if I had it the other day, I couldn't find it. So I'm surprised. If it's ever super cheap, I guess I can pick it up. I'm surprised that game's still so expensive. But I guess...
I got
with
a
the Overwatch League
bucks
and how
on,
popular it is.
Amazon,
well, they keep like re-releasing
it. Should be like
it.
10 or under.
Well, they
at
keep
this point.
Re-releasing it with like, oh, this version comes with a bunch of skins and loot boxes, so
yeah,
that's why we
that's
charge
true.
$60 for it instead of like, you know, 30.
Plus, with the popularity of Overwatch League and all that stuff,
I'm sure
it doesn't
it's like GTA.
Hurt them
sure
at all.
I'm sure it's still
yeah, exactly. They can continue to charge.
The version I got came with 10 loot boxes, so.
How much was it?
Like 28 and some change.
That's not too bad.
You bought it physically or digitally?
Physical.
Okay. I'll look around.
Yeah, wasn't too bad. I got mine off of Amazon. It was here in a couple of days. But that, yeah, like Mike mentioned, Blackout map update, new Battle Pass content, which looks typical Activision nonsense to try and get through. I mean, the one thing they have going for it is that all these battle passes are free. The thing they have going against it is that if you really want something, you seriously need to have the luck of
pay for it.
All the leprechauns with you. No, you can't even pay for it unless it shows up in the shop and you can buy it. I mean, you got to wait around and hope you get it. It's pretty ridiculous.
Don't they usually do the cool shit in the shop just because they know people want it?
Yeah, but not even, like, everything. There's still a lot of, like, the weapon variants and things that are only available.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
In the, like,
I'm sure.
Random drops.
Reserves.
Like, there's a lot of shit you straight up just can't buy.
They want you to play the game. They don't want you to just buy stuff.
No, they want you to buy the... They want you to get impatient. And
well, that... Yeah, I'm sure that, too, but...
Which, like I said, you have to get lucky to get it.
Well, at least it's more frequent than it probably used to be. I remember when it was initially out, you got them so infrequently.
It's now
at least with challenges and stuff like that, yeah.
But that is it for me. How about you, Mr. Jake?
Yeah, it's weird. When we started the year, Mike was like, yeah, it's going to enter slow season a lot quicker than we think. We have. Like, I did not expect it to be... There's nothing. Like, I mean, I say there's nothing. There's nothing new. I think Days Gone was kind of our holdout of hope. Man, we missed the fucking mark on those scores last week. God damn. We thought it was going to be, like, between eights and nines, and that shit got panned. Yeah, it's... which I'm still kind of interested in. I've been watching some streams of it. The best thing I read was... Yeah, JP was playing it a lot, and he put out a really great tweet. To sum it up, it was essentially like, this is the best, like, most average game I've ever played. Like, not good, not bad in any way, just, you know, keeps you playing it because it's just a solid, you know, average, which doesn't say much, but for $30 or under, I'm willing to pull the trigger at some point. So I've just been bouncing around between a lot of shit. Sekiro... I'm finishing up New Game Plus 2, which is the second to last ending I need, which is the short ending. I have those two final bosses to beat, which will be new for me. So that'll be interesting, facing them this late into all the playthroughs of how hard they're going to be.
Wouldn't
but
you
want to
save that ending for your last playthrough, since it's going to be the shortest and would be the hardest?
No, the final ending... No, because the final ending is so fucking convoluted and you have to do so much stuff. I'm actually considering starting a new playthrough it just to start from scratch.
Wait, is that the purification one? Is that the one you need?
No, purification's super easy too. It's the...
Oh, the is it the...
Dragon Return or something like that? There's like 20 fucking steps to do or what... You have to get both snake hearts and you have to make sure you give her the rice at the appropriate... Like, it's a lot of do this before that. And if you don't do this before that, you're locked out of this. And then you start over. You have to find a bunch of texts. You have to
All that part is really easy. I will say that. Like, none of it's...
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, I know.
Find a boss or some stupid bullshit.
No, 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 I know. It's... You have to... some of her locked behind abilities where you have to swim and be able to get texts under the in the Mibu village and stuff like that. But like giving her the or giving giving the Divine Child the Parsons before you get to certain bosses, and then the Rice Quest, and it's just a lot of bouncing all over the place. And yeah, and I wanted to just finally get the all boss trophy out of the way as well, which this ending is going to get me because those are the final two bosses I need. I've only attempted the final two bosses twice or three times. Emma was a first try, and the new fire version of Isshin, his first set or his first phase was first try, and then second phase I died because I have to learn all the fire attacks. It doesn't seem hard. No, it's only two. Well, unless there's a phase I don't know about, he only has two kills. It is very possible. His fire stuff is easier than... Well, it's not easier than the lightning stuff. The lightning's easy because you can just dodge it really, really easily and do a lot of damage. But the fire attacks that he has are pretty easy to dodge, provided you know they're coming. It's just going to be a lot of learning. But I can't imagine it's going to be that hard. I flew through. New Game Plus 2 from the start to this ending was less than 2 hours. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, hour and 30 minutes. It's just... When you have that much strength and you know the boss patterns, it's just boom, 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 boom. Like, Lady Butterfly didn't even get into her second phase. When I fought, what's his face? The first Genichiro on the roof the first time, he didn't even get attack in me on the first phase because I just kept being so aggressive. You learn how to manipulate the bosses after you learn. I mean, I have like 80 hours at this point, so you really start to learn the movement and everything like that. Jump back into Grand Theft Auto 5, mostly because I've been watching a lot of GTA RP on Twitch. So
who are you watching?
I'm in like a GTA mood. Fairlight Excalibur, Mad Morph. I watch a little bit of, what's his name? Kit Boga.
Nice.
Who's really, really good. And then there's this dude that I found. I wish I remembered his name. But the Bard, and he's a singer. He just does like bar singing. So
is that the guy
that
does karaoke?
Club.
I know of him. I've heard of him.
It's not karaoke. He's straight up on the stage in a bar, and he just does music.
People just like kind of treat that as like a karaoke bar, more or less.
Oh, fair enough.
So, yeah. I know who you are.
But he's
about.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Like he did a Foo Fighters song, and it was dead on. Like if I closed my eyes, I would have said that was Foo Fighters. Like he's unbelievable, and he takes requests from the crowd, and it's really fucking cool. So I really wish there was an RP community on console, but because there's no private servers, there can't be. But that's definitely something like I would be super interested in getting into, and so is some sort of like RP game. It seems like a great time. It also seems really hard because you have to obey all these fucking rules.
Yeah, and it's very
and
in demand.
They really freak out if you... Oh, yeah, I've heard that waiting list, if you're not, like, a bigger streamer, is, like,
hours. Multiple
months.
I mean, well... Even...
Oh, no. Well, the whitelist,
to get
on...
Oh, yeah,
to get in the servers multiple hours. But I'm saying, like, to get on the whitelist, to get into the servers on, like, what's the main one called? No Pixel? Yeah. It's, like, months.
I mean, there was a while
if you're not,
totally
like, a big streamer.
Just, like shut it down.
Stopped applications.
I'm sure, dude. The popularity spiked. Yeah, now it's crazy.
And there's obviously servers you probably are more in demand because it has like the bigger RP characters on it and
like
stuff like
the
that.
Top,
oh yeah,
like RP server.
Yep.
But yeah, I've seen some other names pop up as like kind of secondary ones that people are getting into.
Oh yeah, there's definitely some other servers going, and it's a blast to watch. It's really fucking fascinating.
It's like it's my new Twitch addiction for sure.
No kidding. It's you have to be a pretty damn good actor with this shit too, because they carry these storylines for weeks at a time, and it's really impressive, and it's got to be really hard too. But long story short. Been watching a lot of GTA RP, so it's gotten me back in the mood of GTA. And I never, when we played GTA on PS4, we all jumped right into multiplayer because we weren't all about to play the story again anyway. So I have like, I think I'm at like 50-something% total, so I still have quite a bit to do. It's mostly just to fuck around, listen to music in the game, that game still looks unbelievable for being, you know, what, 4 years old at this point?
Six.
2015, right?
Wait, no.
2016?
I thought it was 20.
No, it was 2015 that it came out.
Oh, on PS4. Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking of the original release.
So, oh, yeah. It was 2014. Well, yeah, it's 6 years old. Well, 2013, right, because PS4 came out in 2014. Well, it's gotten, like, a 4K up-res and all those kind of things. But in any case, it still looks really fucking good for being that old of a game. And, you know, still plays well. And it's mostly just a time killer. I've been doing it while I'm watching stuff or whatever. More Path. And I also downloaded Rebel Galaxy, which is a game that I always meant to get back to. Because I love, it's like a space Western themed trading and combat game. You kind of jump from like, I guess they're not galaxies. They're like, little nodes within, you're in one giant galaxy and they're like little nodes within like the galaxy,
systems.
Planetary systems,
solar
essentially.
Systems?
Yeah, kind of, but they don't describe them that way. It's like a futuristic, weird layout thing.
Is that the one that's basically like Black Flag, but in space? What I heard described as far as like the combat.
Yeah, the combat is very similar to Black Flag.
Combat is very similar, yeah, because you have like broadsides and you have your main gun. But you can like upgrade your ships and think about it in the sense of upgrading in the No Man's Sky style where you can buy ships, you can trade commodities. So within the system, different planets have different markets going. So you can buy from one planet and bring it to another. There's multiple factions that you can accept quests from and belong to. There's multiple pirate factions. There's levels of friendliness with all of the factions. It's fun. It's a very easy lose yourself in it game. And the reason I say it's Western is because they really lay on the Westernness. Like the background music is like that twang Southern guitar. Yeah, there's also a lot of cowboy references, a lot of y'alls, a lot of, you know, it's very cowboy-ish in space, but it's fun. I think this was a PS Plus game from years ago.
At least
I think when I downloaded it again, my fucking save was from like 2017 or something like that. But it's a game that I've always just kind of plugged away at, and it's a fun time killer. But again, I'm just, at this point, I'm biding my time until Rage 2, because there's really nothing else out in between now and then, and then after that it's kind of Judgment. I'm very, very heavily considering starting Witcher 3 just because I need something big to play to keep my time. This is the good time now. There's nothing else that
there's really nothing.
Rage 2 will be the game that we all play together.
Well,
so
I thought that was, is there multiplayer?
I mean, it's single player and
multiplayer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Borderlands, but better. Don't hate me, but it's Borderlands.
You're right.
Really
the next kind of, I guess,
it's just way better.
Big game in a sense will be the No Man's Sky update, and that's kind of just summer.
Yeah, that's the summer,
so,
right?
No,
yeah.
No,
and Judgment comes out at the end of
June. Yeah.
That's the Yakuza detective game. And then, yeah, nothing until, like, September or something. I think we, like I said, when I first started, I think we all kind of expected Days Gone to review better. So it was going to be a game to fill the time, and it's not there. I'm seeing myself reverting back to games, much earlier on this year than last year. Cause last year we had stuff all the way up until like July. Didn't Kiwami 2 come out in like August last year? There was no real lull last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, that's pretty much... Oh, I am considering also... It's either going to be Witcher 3 or Metal Gear Solid 5. Because Excessive Profanity just finished his... He's doing the Metal Gear chronology, and he just did 5. And I forgot how good that game looks. It's just a clusterfuck of a story. That's the unfortunate part.
What? A Metal Gear game has a crazy story? I don't believe it.
No. I mean, 5's just a bad Metal Gear story. Like, it's just not a good Metal Gear game. Great open world stealth game, sandboxy stealth game, but not a good story. Or it's very convoluted, I guess, in the way they try and put it together.
I don't know, ballooning goats into the sky.
Oh, dude, the gameplay is amazing. That we will, if Konami and Kojima didn't go their separate ways and they continued to develop that engine and stuff, I feel if that game wasn't rushed, like if the whole Kojima thing didn't happen so close to the end of development, you give that game like another year or two, it arguably could have been one of the best, if not the best, open world game ever made. Like, that engine was fucking perfect. They just had to nail everything else down from being kind of all over the place.
Yeah, Ninja was but nuts.
You look back on that game, it's Survive is the only other game to use that engine, and I've never heard positive things about that game.
No.
Always wanted to try it just out of pure curiosity, but I'm not willing to give Konami my money for
that. Play the demo. It was pretty terrible.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just it's a horde survival game, right? In the engine?
More or less, yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much?
Yeah.
Yeah. Taking advantage of the Metal Gear name. Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But, that's it for me.
Well, all right. And then it's going to take us right into the news. And with it being the beginning of May, we have our PlayStation Plus titles for the month of May. And they are What Remains of Edith Finch and Overcooked.
I'll definitely play Edith Finch.
Yeah, that was definitely always one. It was like, yeah,
I've heard really good.
Very, very good. Very good things about Overcooked. Probably not. I mean, it seems like a cool game, but with it basically, at least from what I hear, is like the only way to play it is co-op and
multiplayer.
Yeah,
yeah. I've heard it's awesome.
It's
though.
It's definitely not a game that seems that's going to be Melissa's jam. So I don't see any sort of local co-op happening in this household, at least. But Edith Finch is cool. I mean, yeah, that was one I've had my eye on for a while. It was just always like the it's $20 for like one of those few hour story heavy games that you know you're not going to play more than once. So it's like I could never really pull the trigger on it, but I mean, yeah, now obviously the optimal time to do so. Next up, we have a large update that we teased a little bit before, coming to Call of Duty Black Ops 4. It is Operation Spectre Rising, the title of their next kind of large content update. This is the first time they've made a significant change to the Blackout map. The Hydro Dam has been destroyed by the bad Spectre specialist man. So now that the river has flooded and a lot of the locations around the river, like Rivertown and Factory and the cargo docks have all been like flooded, so a lot of stuff's been like thrown onto land. There's a lot more water in those areas. Hijacked, so the yacht has moved up north, kind of near to like the furthest point north, so it'll now be closer to the construction zone. And of course there's a whole new battle pass tier list, this time only 50 items. It is a shorter battle pass because they said this is going to be a shorter operation than normal, so it's not the usual 90 days. This one's going to be more towards like 50 to 60 days. Multiplayer, they have some new modes to it, like Prop Hunt, finally coming to Black Ops 4, available right now. The Spectre is also going to be the newest specialist being added to the game. That is one returning from Black Ops 3 that is a stealth-based operative. And there's new cosmetic items, of course. Tons of, now they added, there's weapon charms now, a new item type. There's death effects, so like, you know, what happens when you kill somebody. So instead of a spray of blood, it could be confetti or lasers, or I don't know exactly what they are. But they did also say, coming during this operation, Capture the Flag is coming to multiplayer. Additional new modes as well, including a new bare bones mode and a dark nighttime version of the Hacienda map. In Blackout, they are bringing Ground War, which is going to be a 50v50 mode. So the first time there's going to be a kind of like a big team battle based mode coming to Blackout. An attack helicopter will be joining some point during this season, along with new weapons and new equipment. And of course, if you have the Black Ops Pass, aka their season pass, there will be 3 new maps coming to the multiplayer mode. Yay.
So glad I didn't get that
oh
pass,
yeah. Ooh, man, what a
I feel
that,
so bad
man.
For people who got that.
Yeah, that's that I would have been very upset because that seems like a huge waste of money. I guess maybe if you're really into multiplayer, obviously it's the only way you get those maps because they don't sell them piecemeal now. So it's either you get the pass and get them all, or you get none. So I guess if you're into multiplayer, but for us that like mainly play Blackout, man, yeah, definitely not worth it. Oh wow, you get like one character per season. I was like, yeah, okay, who cares? That's not worth the $50.
That robot was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean the robot was cool. They had that that space gorilla, but
one of them was $40 sweet, but
Yeah, exactly. Not good. Not that good. Psyonix, makers of Rocket League, have now joined the Epic Games family. Yes, that means that in the late 2019, Rocket League will now become a Epic Games Store exclusive, obviously just on PC. This will not affect the console versions in any way. And, you know, obviously most people say, you know, how's this going to affect the game? They even said, in the short term, no changes. No changes whatsoever coming to the game. Nothing with the gameplay, nothing with the friends list. Nothing at all. They kind of alluded to this really affecting their kind of esports presence, obviously, with Epic Games. You know, Fortnite puts on a lot of esports shows.
For what?
You know, that little Fortnite game, you know, it pops up here and there. You know, Fortnite kind of just printing money and them throwing, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in lots of tournaments and such. So I guess you can definitely expect to see Rocket League more in the limelight when it comes to esports, which I am totally behind because I really think it's, as far as esports goes, is easily one of the most entertaining to watch. And obviously you need to, like, not even know anything about the game to understand it, because you will obviously figure it out in like 15 seconds, like what that game is. There's, you know, it's not like Overwatch League where I could stare at that screen for 20 minutes and try to explain to somebody and they'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And on the screen just is like one big mess. So I think, yeah, Rocket League is definitely one of the better esports out there. And I'm glad to see that signing with or doing a deal with Epic is going to definitely help their presence in that world.
That game is also eye candy to watch.
Very much so.
So it doesn't really matter if you understand what's going on or not. It's like people make amazing shots and plays, and the games are only 5 minutes anyway, or the quarters are only five mm-hmm. minutes. So there's always something going on. So, and fuck, it's ball soccer.
Right.
Like, who doesn't understand kicking a ball into a net? Like, it's such a basic idea, but it's so difficult to master. This was news that happened literally hours before we started recording, so none of the real major response has come out yet. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of pushback because people
obviously
are really uptight about the Epic Store right now. I don't have an opinion either way, but I would hope, because they've been around for so long and they've already made their presence known. This isn't a move they're making. I mean, it's always money driven because you're a company, but I would assume, like you said, it's more esports driven and kind of, tunneled in a way that they're looking to do something specific more than just like, oh yeah, we just want to get paid more, because they've been doing more than fine and they've already made their presence known. I don't think this is I wouldn't put this in the greed column as so many other people have for other people that have moved to the Epic Store, which, you know, again, I don't have a major opinion on any of that stuff. But for something like this, if somebody were to say they did it for money purposes, I understand it's all money purposes, but I would tend to agree with you more on the sense that it's for a specific purpose,
right,
more than just like, yeah, we just want to make more money
of the game, essentially.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Valve's not doing anything for them. And Psyonix is not a huge company. I mean, this is their only game. Like, this is all they
Right. have. Well, they don't need anything
right,
else.
Exactly.
It's just like GGG with PoE. They don't need anything mm-hmm. else. But aren't there, like, is there a lifetime style thing? Like, what if you own a pass or something on, obviously, they haven't, I don't know if they've announced it or not yet, but like, what if you own stuff on Steam or whatever? Like, how's that going to...
Yeah.
I assume they're not going to take it away from
right.
you, but you're probably
I mean,
not going to be able to purchase anything new?
Yeah, that's
going forward
going to be a interesting one. Because, I mean, most of the cosmetics... I mean, any non-licensed cosmetic, that's all done in-game. Like, all you buy through the store is, like, the keys to unlock the crates. But the only time you're buying like a straight up cosmetic is like, oh, when they do a deal with the MLB or Jurassic Park or whatever comic book movie.
Well, they can't take that away from you. Right. You own that license.
But
now.
It just might be like, oh, for the future, you know, we're only going to sell those cosmetics on the Epic Games Store. Yeah, so that's definitely going to be an interesting one. It's like, yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that because you're definitely going to piss off your player base for all the people that bought it on Steam, and now it's like, oh, all the cosmetics.
Which is your entire player base on PC right now.
That is a huge, I mean, there's tens of millions of players.
That's where competitive Rocket League is played, isn't it? On PC?
Yeah.
More than on console?
I mean, 99% of the players play controller on PC, so it's almost,
right, no,
like
I understand.
It doesn't matter the platform, but yeah, I think it's just for simplicity.
No, I understand, I'm just saying.
They
yeah,
play
yeah.
on PC. But yeah, that's definitely going to be an interesting problem for them to figure out. I don't know if it's just going to be like a, hey, if you own it on Steam, maybe they can figure out some way to be like give you the Epic Games version for free.
That would be really
smart. Because all of your like stuff is tied to your player account, so I would assume that's not going to be an issue as far as transferring, like, so you don't lose all your
that would prevent a lot of the saltiness,
yeah,
probably. Well, not all of it, but a lot of it, like people being like, oh, I have to buy the game again. If they did it that way, at least people couldn't complain as much.
Yeah, with how valuable some cosmetics, I mean, some people's like have hundreds of dollars worth of cosmetics.
I remember you telling me about some of that shit.
Yeah, some of that stuff gets really expensive on the market, so I'm sure they probably, I mean, obviously, I don't think they would have done that deal without, like, thinking about that. So I hope they have a solution.
You'd hope not.
For the I would hope that for the, the PC.
If they expect everybody to start over, that would really suck.
Yeah,
people would boycott.
Yeah. The death of
I don't think they're
going to
do that,
kidding
though.
Me?
It would be.
Yeah, they're not
going to
do that, though.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. If everything's tied to your account, they'll offer some sort of 90% off deal or some shit, like, or just give you a free copy.
I mean, who knows? Maybe,
they'll be smart about
it. Maybe they worked out a deal with Epic where it's like, all right, we're not going to sell the core game on Steam, but we'll still sell all the cosmetic stuff on Steam. So it'll just be like DLC only.
Can they do that?
I don't know.
Doesn't Epic now own?
I don't know how those deals work.
Them?
So,
well, it's about
Psyonix,
so I'm going to say Steam's never going to see this game again.
I would say nothing new is ever. Maybe they'll continue to update the game, but I can't imagine anything new content wise is going to come out on Steam from this point on. Well, from
not the, first
the end of the
to
year
ask
on.
This question, but yeah, I would hope for the PC player base's sake that they have a good solution to this problem, because it's definitely going to be.
I hope so.
If they fuck this,
I would hate to see
this
game
be,
get some sort of negative.
Yeah,
oh,
this
they would
be
fuck themselves
really
completely.
Bad.
This would be, especially with how popular and well. Well, foothold they are already.
Right.
Like, they didn't need this. If they're doing this for exposure in esports, like you said, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
but
they
if they're
do
doing it for any greedy style purpose, they fuck themselves.
They're in the tens of millions as far as players, so like, they're not hurting as far as money. This is definitely like a exposure deal, I would say, more than anything else.
I get it. They've been around for long enough. People can't accuse them of just like going to Epics just for money at this point.
We have yet another Persona 5 game. So this kind of like all cycles back to when the rumors were originally starting about some new Persona 5
the
S.
The spinoff, yeah.
And people were like, oh, S is for Switch. You are wrong. S is for Scramble. Persona 5 Scramble, the Phantom Strikers, is coming to the Switch and also the PlayStation 4. But
so they were kind of right.
It's a Musou game. Yes, Omega Force and Koei Tecmo are making a Musou Persona 5 game.
Why?
No release date whatsoever.
I guess
it looks cool as shit. I'm very interested. It looks
it definitely
wild.
Came out of left field,
yeah,
man. I did not expect them to do something like this with Persona.
I mean, yeah, the Zelda one.
I guess it's a lot easier
but this is even more so out there.
And this will play easily on the Switch, that's probably why this will be the game to port to the Switch.
Sure.
Or it's not even a port, it's just for the Switch.
Sure, yeah. A lot of Persona people are upset since, there's really no... this is not the Persona game they asked for on Switch, so...
We're getting Persona 5 with, like, 40 hours worth of new content.
Yeah,
we'll be fine.
That's
we'll be totally fine.
Well, I just mean, as far as the Switch goes, like, this is the only Persona... I mean, there's still no sight of the Q series, which was on the 3DS. There's kind of no sight of... People would presume that the next Q game would be on Switch, but there's been no word of that. So
if they ever make another one,
that's true. I mean, who knows where that series is
it's
going.
Been a while. I mean, cool. I said, it was very out of left field, but I will, yeah. No, I would assume sometime 2020, when P5R is coming out here as well.
Probably like late 2020 at the earliest.
I'm not even a fan of the Dynasty Warriors game, and I'm just interested in it because it's Persona 5. So.
Exactly. That's kind of where I'm at, too. Hopefully
I wonder what the mobs and shit are going to...
A lot of shadows.
A lot of dick monsters, maybe.
So maybe at the end of each level, it'll be like a dungeon where it's like the dungeon boss or something like that, but in a Musou style. That'd be, oh man, it's so fucking weird that they did that.
I mean,
but
Persona,
whole
thing is weird.
Dude,
everything about that's weird.
But if they do that game, like, is there footage of it? Because I haven't actually seen it. I just heard it announced.
They have a teaser trailer that shows a little bit, not too much, but you get the idea of...
Is it super stylized still? Mm-hmm. Like with
yeah, it's got the Persona
style.
Holy
shit, maybe I do have to see this. Okay.
It definitely got me very interested in this game.
Hyper stylized game like that would be fucking crazy. I just heard about it. I didn't know there was actually footage for it. I wasn't aware. All right, I'll check it out.
Another thing that you will definitely be checking out is Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC. Yes, the first DLC has been announced. Remind. With no release date or price.
They love these
assholes. It'll be an additional scenario titled Remind. It'll be a limited cut episode and additional bosses. It'll be a secret episode and additional bosses. And the Japanese version of the game will get English voiceovers. And there's also going to be some free DLC coming, which will have a new Keyblade and new form for the Keyblade. Also, no release date yet.
Did we announce last week that it was getting a critical mode? We did, right?
I think we touched on that, and that's just what the super hard, that's harder difficulty, right?
Yeah, so apparently, like, people, so, first of all, the game was way too easy. I played it on Proud, and it was the easiest fucking, it was like a child's game. Now they put in critical mode, and people are complaining about how hard it is, because people wanted a non-baby mode. Apparently, before, like, within, like, the tutorial area, people are, like, having trouble getting through it. So, I'm very curious to try it out. If it's that hard, I'm not going to do it. But, like, critical mode in old Kingdom Hearts, I would spend, like, you know, a couple hours on a boss. So, if it's like that, I'll play that again. Especially once the DLC comes out.
Next up, we have another new DLC from Ghost Recon Wildlands. Yes, a game that most people would have rightfully assumed wasn't getting any additional content is getting a new set of story missions a celebrity tie-in. Next, actually this coming weekend, you will be able to play the game for free. So starting from the time you hear this podcast until May 5th, it will be free for all platforms, PS4, Xbox, PC. And you'll get two story missions being added to the game, starring John Bernthal, yes, a.k.a. The Punisher, a.k.a. whatever his character name was from Walking Dead. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
He will be playing Cole D. Walker, a ghost team leader that you'll come across during Operation Oracle's two rescue missions. Finishing the two missions will reward you with a close quarters finisher and a ghost tattoo that you can put on your character. And yeah, that's.
He was also in the last season of Kimmy Schmidt. Just in case you were wondering.
I did not know he
was
doing
really
that, so.
Sure was.
Jesus, that's hilarious. He's always the same. Well, it's Bernthal as Bernthal.
Yeah, I mean,
he has the same kind of voice.
Yeah, playing anything
for every character he does, same sort of accent. Yeah. I hope they're pushing more content for this because they're thinking about making a second one, because that game was really underrated
and a
lot of fun.
I mean, it sold very... I think the year it came out, it was, like, in the top 10, like, for the year as far as sales go. It was one of, like, the best-selling, like, Ubisoft games, like, ever. Like, it sold ridiculously well. For how much it reviewed kind of it sold crazy well.
Well... When that game first came out, especially with the demo, too, that was not good.
Was
and
rough.
Then they did a very quick turnaround.
It would be one of my favorite
Fronts
games.
Kept telling us how good it was, and then we all jumped on.
I feel...
it was great.
They're definitely working on a sequel. I would say they'd be crazy not to. It's probably going to
be... I hope they are.
Especially for...
I mean, at this point, it'll probably be a PS5 next-gen game, but
They may pull it out at E3, end-of-the-year game or something like that.
That's true, because, I mean, that's, 2017 game came out?
2017, yeah, a couple
like
years
early
ago.
Early 2017, so yeah. It's definitely in the realm of possibility that we could, yeah, see at least some sort of tease at a new Ghost Recon game.
When they first said Bernthal is going to be in it, I was like, oh, are they doing like a Punisher-style mission or something
that'd be cool.
Yeah, because I assumed they wouldn't just have Bernthal as somebody. I would assume it was a character of his, right. But no, I guess not.
Yeah, it's still cool. And then, like I said, free this weekend. I mean, you just, you know, you can play those two missions, the whole game. It's a really good game. It's going to be on sale on every platform, too, so... Definitely check it out.
That game's got to be like under $20
now,
right?
I think the sale price is around, like the $15 to $20 range. Easily worth it for that.
That's
cost.
Super worth it very for the amount of time you get
in that
game.
Like,
way more fun with friends. Yeah. Still very fun alone, but the amount of shenanigans you can get into with friends is fucking nuts.
It's a fun time. And our final news story this week is something we all rightfully predicted and assumed. Super Mario Maker 2 will be coming out on June 28th. They did always say that it was going to be landing in, you know, late June, second half of June of this year. So now we have the fine, firm date of June 28th. And
I definitely said June 28th, to the day.
Absolutely. Of course you did. I have that written down here. But
yeah, Mr. Mario Maker 2 fanboy himself, I called it.
Very, very excited.
It is like 2 or 3 years late, but at least it's happening.
Better late than never, and they're still kind of tight-lipped as far as what's going to be new, but people have been like kind of looking at promotional materials and trying to like pick every little thing out of it they can. But
tile sets, I'd assume, right?
It can just be
they're going to add new tile sets. Well, it will be. They'll probably have new tile sets in there. They'll definitely have new characters in there. Yeah, they'll. What tile sets were they missing? They were missing
ramps.
Super Mario Brothers 2.
They're missing
ramps.
They have ramps.
Yep.
No, they have ramps in one, didn't they?
No, not proper ramps. No, you could.
Well, not proper ramps. You could build them, though.
You could build them.
Okay, fair enough. They're missing Mario 2, and I think they add. Did they add Super Mario World towards the end
or something like that?
If not,
it launched with one 3 World and 3D World. So now they're adding the.
So they're missing
new
two
Super Mario Brothers tires.
New Super Mario Brothers
that's
U.
That's being added that we know of. So, I mean,
I would assume two
really
is going to be in there as well.
You know, two is the only one, and that's always like the well.
Such a different tile set.
Each character actually controls differently depending on who you play as. So maybe they'll just do the tile set and just have the controls be the same.
You could just have the same
for everybody.
Yeah, you could just have the controls. I mean, that's what they do with all the character sets now. You're always playing as Mario. It's just a different
I can see that,
transmog on top of them.
What if I want to play as Toad?
Well,
you can play as Toad. I'm sure there's a bunch of transmog Toads.
Yeah. I was going to say the
can
Super
you put
man, if they had digging,
yeah, I was going to say, are they
holy
add, like,
shit, that would be
I mean,
awesome.
They added two,
I mean, they added mechanics. Yeah,
awesome.
They added mechanics from the other tile sets.
Oh
if they add, that would bring a whole new level of depth to that game if you could start adding, like, digging mechanics.
Yeah, I think,
and they're
going to
add Super Mario RPG in there, and look out.
Oh, don't get me all excited, dude. Super Mario RPG tile set? That would be fucking sick.
That's asking a lot. I think the biggest thing...
You could do sprites, though.
Yeah, sprites.
Geno Sprite, they had that in the first one.
Yeah, I think people, wanting Super Mario 2 and then, like a world map or, like, being able to link levels together was, like, I think what people wanted.
Like, make your own 16-level hard world map?
That
would be awesome.
That was definitely, like, near the top of the list of what people wanted as far as in a sequel or a re-release. So hopefully they will deliver something at least similar to that.
If not, it's just the same thing with new tile sets. It's still going to do really well because that first game is still going now.
Still very popular on a totally dead console. So yeah, it's definitely a great tool set.
Have they said if they're doing a straight wipe and starting over, or they? I assume so, right? Because it's not like it's a server thing. It's just a brand new game.
Yeah, I don't even know if they've said if like. Levels are going to transfer over or anything.
I can't imagine
would assume
they
none
will.
Of that. It's just going to be everything that's on one stays on one, and then two is going to be its own thing. So people are just going to have to like rebuild their stuff in two.
That's fine. You'll have so much content
in the course of a couple days. I'm sure all the really good ones will get remade. So give it a week or two, and then it'll just flush with good stuff. It's just like a trials game.
It'll just take a while. Right, it'll just take a while for the cream to rise to the top because you'll have a lot of those shitty levels mixed in that nobody's, downvoted yet. So when you do those, like, extreme tracks, you'll have some really easy ones, and then some stupid hard ones.
Yeah. Here's this, extreme level, but it's like a don't move track. So it's like, okay, that's no difficulty because I'm not doing anything.
Right, but nobody's voted it yet, so it's in the extremes.
That's just how the Trials games go. So yeah, within a few weeks, mm-hmm. you'll get to see the real spotlight game, levels get surfaced. But
and they usually featured some too. I think in the first one.
They do. They did a pretty good job at featuring some of the more popular things. But other than that, that is it for the news this week, which now takes us into our not top five, but a NFL draft recap discussion extravaganza.
Strap in for the second half of the show. It's going to be NFL and Game of Thrones. You're going to be exhausted by the time you're done listening to this.
I have very little to comment on because my Browns didn't even pick until the 40s, and they made a good pick there. And other than that...
Well, let's let Mel Kiper Ben over here give us his review of the draft.
Yeah, this draft was pretty crazy to start. The first three picks were pretty standard. I think everyone was expecting that, but I think everyone was shocked when Cleveland Farrell got picked at 4 to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And then the New York Giants trumped them with the insanity by taking Daniel Jones at 6.
I was so happy to see that.
It blew my mind. And the whole time...
Blew everybody's mind.
Yeah, the whole time I'm watching this, and as soon as Cleveland Farrell got taken, I started remocking in my head. This ended up causing a player that I really wanted to start to slip. And when it got to the 7th pick in the Jacksonville Jaguars, they took him.
And then I got a steal, by the way.
Angry. And so we are sitting at 8, and we take a tight end in the top 10 again. And I was not happy.
Woo-hoo.
I mean, I like him as
a player. To be fair, he was a top touted player.
Yeah, he was. I think he was a top 10 player on everyone's board. It was just, it's a value pick. You're the 8th pick.
Right.
And you're taking a tight end. He is probably the highest touted tight end to come out in a long time.
Yeah, and you don't usually hear about tight ends, so if anything, at least that's a positive.
I think the highest touted tight end that was actually legit was probably Kellen Winslow Jr. I mean, if he doesn't...
Oh, yeah. I remember when he came out.
If he doesn't do stupid things and hurts himself, he probably would have had a nice career, but...
Was Hernandez big when he came out? Where did he even come out of?
Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah.
Oh, he came out of Florida. He wasn't really highly touted.
Okay.
I think he came in the same draft as Gronk, too. I can't remember anymore.
No way.
Maybe a year after Gronk, but it was getting the tight end again. Had a lot of Ebron nightmares just because he was kind of like a flash in the pan. Like, he didn't get hot until right before the draft, and then, I don't know, it was kind of a... I didn't like that pick. I like this one a little more just because I know Hockenson can do everything. He's 21. He doesn't have drops issues like Ebron did. He will block you to the nether realm. He should turn out to be a good player. If everyone wants to compare him to Gronk or Kelsey, I just want a Witten. I just want Jason Witten.
Consistency and just kind of solid numbers from year to year.
Yeah, just play forever, do everything right. I mean,
he was a good blocker, wasn't he?
Jason Witten was one of the greatest. Him on those offensive lines for Dallas. I mean, Zeke is just thrived with that guy.
Let's see what he does this year.
Yeah, one more year. But
how old is he? 38, 39?
Oh, yeah, he's up there. He's getting up there. But he's still good. He'll still catch 60. Yeah. He'll catch 60 balls this year. Zeke will run for 1,500. And Dallas will
They'll make the playoffs again, and then they'll lose first round.
One can only hope. So the Lions, they had another Lions draft. They didn't make any splashes. Hockenson was a safe pick. I think they really reached on their second round pick with the linebacker from Hawaii, Jelani Tavai. He could end up being a solid player for them, but he's going to be like one of those guys who's really only brought in for situational things, but he could really excel in those situations. That's what this defense is becoming, is that situational defense. And a lot of people around here hate that. I'm not a fan of it because it's not sexy to watch on Sundays, but if you win games, then I don't care how you get it done. Our third round pick was Will Harris. He was a safety that I'd never heard of, and we traded up for him. I was a little upset with that pick because there was still a lot of talent on the board, and we still needed to address the gaping hole at right guard because TJ Lang retired. The Lions proceeded to not address that at all through the entire draft, but we did sign an undrafted kid out of Wisconsin who I thought we were actually going to draft in the third or fourth round. So, cool on that, but I'm excited about Imani Awarie. He is the corner out of Penn State, long kid who likes to hit people. And Travis Fulgham, he's a receiver out of Old Dominion. Big body, good hands. Could be the steal of our draft right there. Got him in the sixth round. But that is the Lions draft in a nutshell. Just really drafted for depth. And I'm, again, not a huge fan of that because winners draft for depth. We don't win yet. So,
like the Cleveland Browns, who drafted for some defensive depth.
The Browns had a draft. I'm looking over it
their
now.
Draft was a month ago. I mean, I think everyone came to the consensus.
Yeah, trading for Odell was their draft. They were able to snag Greedy Williams in the second.
Very good sign.
It was a player I wanted the Lions to take, but we passed on him. He's a lockdown corner. Throw it his way. Could end up really bad for you. The knock on him was his effort and his tackling, but I'm of the thought of if the guy doesn't catch it, you don't have to tackle.
Yeah, slap the ball away. Don't matter if he can tackle him or not. So, yeah.
Honestly, he's not even going to be covering the other team's number ones. He wouldn't have been doing that in Detroit either. Team. Yeah, Cleveland's got Denzel Ward, who they took in the first round last year, who's really good. Detroit's got Darius Slay. Yeah, this is a good lockdown two guy. Like, I could not believe he fell as far as he did and got passed on.
Yes, that was one of the surprises, as seeing that when the Browns drafted him, I assumed that he was taken already. Like, the fact that he was still available at 46 was a huge shock. I mean, a very welcome surprise for me.
The other pick the Browns made that I liked was the Mac Wilson pick, fifth round out of Alabama. A lot of people had him going a lot higher. I think that had a lot to do with him just being an Alabama player, but
right,
you have to be good to crack that lineup because it's nothing but 4 and 5 star recruits. And if you're starting for Alabama, there's a reason you're there. So. Fifth round, not too shabby. Everybody else, I did not know.
The kicker, Austin Siebert, NCAA record holder, most points. Hello. The next, all-time great. The next Adam Vinatieri, Steven Gostkowski, if you will.
There you go. I think both those guys were undrafted free agents.
I mean, to put this in perspective, the previous holder of said record was one Zane Gonzalez, former Browns kicker, who was awful. So, yeah.
It's not that
excited about this pick. But, hey, you never know. I mean, kickers are that's a weird bunch.
Justin Tucker has won many games for the Ravens and he was undrafted. So.
Right. I mean, yeah, kickers are
cold as ice and has a cannon. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. I
mean, I've seen those. I've seen Justin Tucker kick a ball just like and just start dancing because he knows it's going. It's like a 60-yarder, and he just like drills it and just starts dancing because he knows it's going in. It's so stupid. Yeah.
The guy that we signed was That was definitely an issue of last season, which, yeah, hopefully they're just kind of cementing the, we know.
Cost you guys the playoffs, didn't it?
More or less, yes. And, you know, kind of like the, if this would have happened, then this, yeah, more or less, yeah. Had we made two field goals in consecutive games, that would have put the Browns in the playoffs last year. So, yes, a bad kicker cost the Browns a playoff berth. So, yeah, they're not looking to make that mistake again, but. Yeah,
I mean, the Browns in the AFC Championship game. I don't care.
It's a fair statement. That's reasonable. You're aiming higher than I. It was just like, hey, playoffs. I'm doing a playoff appearance.
That's a big jump. Man.
It's win now.
Team. Yeah, the clock is running. I'd say this season starts the clock as far as like
Baker and Miles and Denzel are all on their rookie deals. You've got Odell, who's just signed his long deal. Jarvis Landry signed his long deal. All of your like skill players are like locked in. You've got Chubb, you've got Hunt. Who knows what's going on there? I did see a report where he's going around now talking to high school kids about not beating people.
Yeah,
so
it's unfortunate that
for him.
You know, at least he's making an effort. So that's what I'd like to see. So,
yeah, Jets are definitely win now. I mean, they've got every level. There's an all pro player or all pro talent at least. So,
you mean Browns?
Yeah, the Browns. What did I say?
Jets.
The Jets are awful. Sorry,
we're up and coming. No, well, we're up and coming. We've got.
Except you're on the
we've got the talent. Yeah, exactly. We've got the talent in place. Now it's just a matter of getting better. I can see us making the playoffs. I can't see us going anywhere, but I can see us at least, you know, creeping in somewhere. I mean, we did a lot of it was a cross between D and offensive line, and then we took that one tight end out of West Virginia or something like that.
Trayvon Wesco. What a name.
Yeah, we needed a wide receiver, but they picked up a big body tight end, so that's fine too. He'll be good. I don't know much about him, but we needed some sort of receiver. But we got Quentin Williams at three. So
I love Quentin Williams. Just
he was arguably the most talented person in the entire draft.
It was a no brainer, honestly. I mean, just a guy of his skill, talent, and character too. I mean, everyone's got nothing but nice things to say. I mean, he looks 15 years old.
I was about to say, is that the kid that looks like he's literally just started high school?
His face does. I took the picture. His body does not, but his face does.
Yeah,
it looks weird seeing his face on that body because it's a 15-year-old. It's like, it's a gigantic 15-year-old.
It's hilarious. He's got the braces. He's got the little round face. It's adorable. But
he'll be good though. He'll add to our D, which is already really solid.
Yeah. The edge rusher you guys got out of Florida was a solid pick.
Oh, the O line guy in the third round,
defensive end. Yep. He fell in the draft for all sorts of just craziness. He everything you could do. He was a first round pick, and then he did everything wrong.
Do I have to worry about character issues?
I don't know if it's character issues. He's just not smart. He just didn't listen to people. Just had a bad agent.
But he's got first-round talent.
Yeah,
huh?
He's very talented. If he can get the right people on his side and get in shape, he'll be a stud for you guys. It was a really good pickup there.
Playing in New York is going to force that very quick in one direction or the other. He's either going to fail real quick or he'll succeed real quick.
Run him out of town or they'll love him forever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's that talented and we got him in the third round, I'm all about it. Put him in there and there's no real loss. See what happens.
I think your guys' steal of the draft, though, is Blake Cashman, the linebacker from Minnesota. Got him in the fifth round. He was climbing up a lot of people's boards.
He was a big steal.
Yeah, you had a real good combine, had a real good Senior Bowl. Tough-nosed dude. could be like your next David Harris. David Harris, that was just a tackling machine.
He's just kind of small, though, isn't he? Wasn't that
the
big
thing against
him? Yeah,
he's a little smaller than David Harris, but I'm looking at him. Yeah, 6'1", 237.
That's pretty small.
That's
for a linebacker.
That is big enough to do some damage. That's for sure.
Absolutely. He's just on the smaller side, I would say.
If you're smart, that is plenty to work with.
Fair enough.
But with all of this stuff going, I mean, I watched as much of the draft as I possibly could, and I do it every year, and I love it so much. The Browns are primed to win. They're loaded.
The three of our teams, they're in the best shape.
They're 100%. Just loaded 100%. They're ready to go. It's on. Like, this is it.
The talent on that team, like overnight from last year to this year, is
if they don't put up
crazy.
30 points a game next year, I don't even know.
They have a lot to live up to.
Yeah. With what's his face coming back after, was it 6 games or 8 games did they give him?
Eight. So the first.
So you've got half
games,
the season with him.
You only have Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson.
Because of how the bye week works out. So they're actually
he'll be back.
So yeah, week 10.
So you'll have him for the entire second half of the season.
He'll
and
miss
at that
eight
point, hopefully
Browns
you guys
games.
Are in good shape. Yeah. It's
five,
I don't
five
love
and
Baker's
three,
at,
six
like,
and two. I think you guys will be okay.
Oh, yeah. You guys have a pretty good schedule, too.
Yeah,
and I don't love Baker's cockiness, but
yeah,
I kind of want to see him succeed just because I want to see the Browns succeed.
Yeah.
So I'm all about it. I'm kind of rooting more for your team than my team this year.
Oh,
just
I'm
because you're in a position to actually win. Well, yeah, I've always been on the Browns side, but I think that because of the position you're in, I'd love to see them go far. I mean, I still want the Jets to do well, but I don't even think we play each other once this year. It's a Monday night game too, which will be really fun.
Yeah, it's nice to see. I think the Browns have
two or three, right?
No, I'm talking about
two
between
nice.
Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. I think
oh, between Sunday night games, yeah,
primetime games. So
nice,
yeah. A rare sight.
You deserve it.
Lions had that. Like
I just hope they live
ago,
up to it.
We had the three primetime games, and then we had Thanksgiving as well. So we actually had four nationally televised games. It was a weird feeling.
The problem is at this point, everybody's just waiting for Brady to retire. So we just have to wait out that train, and
or
we're
just
okay.
Have a bad season.
Another
the
couple
Browns,
years.
The
and
Browns
we're okay.
are going to retire.
That's not
going to
happen
watch.
At this point.
Got to bury the Patriots.
Myles Garrett is going to retire Tom Brady on the field.
Yeah. If Tom Brady retires because of an injury, as much as I don't like Tom Brady,
it won't be because of an injury.
That'll make me sad.
He's just going to be
embarrassed. So defeated and so embarrassed that he has to retire.
Patrick
Waugh
his ass into retirement.
just like how the Browns won their last game of the season where they just destroyed fucking Case Keenum to win the game. That's how it's going to – Browns are going to beat the Pats to go to the Super Bowl.
You guys had a nice little run towards the end of last season. Hopefully it continues right into this one.
That was the season of if Hugh Jackson was fired, the Browns were in the playoffs. Plain and simple.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Well, you were also running off motivation, too. Yeah. I'm sure 95% of it was Hugh Jackson, but that other little 5% after he got fired was pure motivation. Like, they were running on a lot more steam than they probably would have if, you know, it had gone down a different way. But yeah, I mean, the talent's absolutely there.
So yeah,
that's all I got.
Yeah. An interesting
that's
season.
Yeah. We're a mere 4 months away from seeing this all come into action. So we'll be impatiently waiting.
Man, that time really flies by. Mm-hmm. It seems like the season just ended.
Yeah, once the draft hits, that's like all right, it's go time. Here's when everything starts picking up and we start, you know, hearing about.
We hit that.
You guys have
though,
that arena league now
with
this
baseball.
Year.
Yeah. Gross baseball and hockey still going.
Well, you have
once hockey and NBA playoffs are over with, it's
well, hockey's not over yet.
Yeah, we have another month and a half of
same thing with
sports
basketball.
On TV.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's hockey. I'll let you you guys gush over Game of Thrones nonsense.
Oh my god, that's oh man, still gotta talk about Game of Thrones
so,
still.
Yeah,
yeah.
We haven't been keeping up, people.
So this will be
get out of here.
Yeah, this is a. And this is always, as always, spoiler. Last week we didn't really do we didn't do a recap because Ben wasn't here. I guess quick recap of 2 weeks ago. A lot of character development preparing for the battle. The internet freaked out because we saw Arya semi-naked for a half second. Is that essentially what sums up 2 weeks ago, Ben? You have anything to add?
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, good episode. A lot of character development. To be fair, this season, up until this episode, has felt a lot like old Game of Thrones to me. When I say that, I mean like the first couple seasons, where it's just a lot of character stuff and not a lot of crazy bullshit going on, which was really nice to see. I really miss the slow-paced character development of that show, because we haven't gotten that probably in about a season and a half or so. It's always been pretty nuts, which essentially leads us into this episode.
Yeah, I don't even know where we start with this episode because a lot happens. We can start from a TV watcher standpoint. The choice to go full on dark in this episode was
Jesus Christ.
Nuts.
Yeah, I don't. They've done it a couple times with a couple episodes, but and I understand they're trying to like bring across Sick how tone. Dark the battlefield can be and stuff. Yeah, but fuck, dude, when there's so much stuff going on screen and it's that dark and it's that blurry, it just. I thought like Brienne died like five times. That
oh yeah,
episode.
I thought a
I
lot
swear
of people
to God.
Died in that episode. I thought yeah, everyone was gone in the first 5 seconds.
Yeah,
and,
Sam.
Sam. Laying on
weird.
A pile of bodies.
Sam's crying bitch, dude.
Well, that's Sam. I mean, Sam's always been like that. That's his character.
Yeah, it just got worse this episode. It's true.
I'm hoping that when the 4K Blu-ray release comes out, it looks glorious because watching
they're gonna have
it,
to clean up that frame rate.
Well, it's not. It's well, that's the problem. So you've got these cable providers, these streaming services. They don't push the content. They just weren't pushing the content out at that high quality.
Right.
It was just really low quality stuff. So when you've got a super duper TV going and then you get this low quality stream, you get the I don't know what the term for it is, but you get
pixelization,
the gray fog or whatever the hell you want to call
yeah.
it. I saw gray pixels come at me before I saw an undead army come at me. That's why I knew
100%
coming,
same.
Right? So
somebody posted a video of that scene cleaned up, and I'm like, oh wow, you can actually see people,
yeah.
like in the darkness.
I've seen
cool.
somebody cleaned up the dragon fight.
Oh man, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
If it was done properly,
yeah, I mean, cleaned up, it looked phenomenal.
Yeah, the cinematography, like that's the first thing I'll say about this episode. The cinematography was fucking gorgeous. Like from a directorial standpoint. The episode looked incredible.
Absolutely.
I have a lot of issues with the direction they took, but
well,
we can get to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to absolutely be the negative person here. Like, I have a lot of issues with that episode. I think people were too over the top with how much spectacular shit they threw in your face, and they ignored all the issues, because there were a lot of glaring issues in that episode.
Yeah, it was just another unfortunate writing example where George R.
Mm-hmm.
R. Martin's influence is diminished.
It's not there.
Yeah.
These are fanboys making up their own storylines, and it causes problems.
He told them how to get there. Told them what the result was, and he's leaving it up to them to get there for TV.
The journey there has some fucking issues.
Yeah.
If they're gonna condense it like this, I understand they're shutting it down now because of how long it's been on. Don't condense this stuff because you're doing it that way. Just make another short season. Give me a 4-episode season next season or something. Don't do stuff like that. Two biggest problems of that episode. One, you have these mountains of dead pouring over the walls, DayZ style. Okay, like it's just to the point of like catastrophe. It's over. You're putting everybody in danger. I get it. Next scene, Arya's hanging out, sneaking through the castle, and there's just random fucking zombies around. No hordes. It's fine. It's nice and quiet. Like, what the fuck? Where are all these hordes of zombies that just poured into this fucking castle? Shouldn't every single room and every hallway be devoured by these things? Okay, fine. First issue there. Second, moving to the Arya library scene, that she can now, blood is louder than her footsteps. I understand that she was trained by the many-faced god. Fine. Okay, sure. But they smelled it and they heard it before they heard her. They never heard her. She was trained by the many-faced god. She's this little ninja rogue now. But when did she learn to be, like, perfectly silent? Like, when did... somebody said it best. When did she gain quick step? Like, it's unfucking believable.
If you go back in the show, she sneaks up on a lot of people. And they comment
To sneak through this horde of...
That was before she was even trained.
From the first scene of the first book of the first episode of the show... You have this ominous threat of the whites and the White Walkers. And it just casually ends like that. Like, it's just, it's, I understand they're building her up to be, she's now the fan favorite. She saves the day, blah, blah, blah. She's the knight, or she's the prince we all deserve in place of, you know, Bran or Jon or whatever. But it's problematic for me. And I don't just let it go like everybody else has. It bothers me. Bother me from this point on.
The poor writing. George R. R. Martin set up so many people to be prophesizers, and there's so many other instances where there's plots and things are foiled. It's just another unfortunate circumstance of him.
You know what? It would have been a cool ending, and I'll give Excessive Profanity 100% credit on this because I heard him say this, and I thought it was fucking brilliant. He bends over to grab Bran. Okay, he picks up Bran. Bran goes to the reach for the knife, realizes he gave it to Arya, pulls off the face. It's actually Arya, not Bran. Boom! Stabs the king. Over.
That Arya was hiding with Bran the whole time. Why would he fake not having a knife and then have a knife?
To throw up. Well, fine, you don't have to fake the knife. I don't give a shit. But it's actually Arya as Bran. Instead of Bran. And Bran's, well, like, behind the tree, hiding.
That means Arya killed Bran and took his face.
Well, he's not dead yet. She ripped his face off, but she sacrificed her brother for the good of everybody else.
That's awful.
She had to make the tough choice. No, it's not. I think it's awesome.
That's terrible.
It's way better than what they did.
No, it's not. Come on, really?
Yeah, it is.
You want Arya to cut Bran's face off?
No, that's extreme.
Behind a tree?
No, that's
that's
extreme.
So dumb.
Look, it's extreme. It bothers me that she managed to sneak past all of it. It just bothers me. I don't like the way they pulled it off. When you have this whole ominous threat of the Night King throughout the whole series, essentially, and then you just casually end it like that with the easiest way possible with the. It wasn't really Deus Ex Machina because you can believe that she had some of these abilities, but we've never seen her have the ability to literally be silent and sneak past White Walkers like that, and or a horde of White Walkers.
Of it. Like,
yeah, that's what that entire library scene was built.
Yes,
was
that's exactly
was
why
shown
that whole
to build.
Thing was there was to give to just erase. That
I didn't
now.
Like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
A lot of people didn't like it. But they wrote it in there, and it makes sense.
They did.
Yeah.
It I guess kind of it made sense.
Yeah, I get it. I was happy. I mean, don't get me wrong, when Arya does the leap, gets caught, does a little dagger drop.
It's badass.
Yeah, I hooted and hollered on
it's
my
badass,
couch.
Dude. It Everybody sweet. Did. Yeah, it's badass,
I think it's great. But yeah, like you said, the journey to that point, it was could have been better.
And just like the little, like I said, with the writing thing of like all the horde, like if you're going to have her sneaking through the castle with a couple whites hanging around, that's fine. Do that before you have the zombie hordes breaking a wall of the castle and getting in. Like things seemed out of order in that episode, which I guess was the biggest problem.
I honestly could have seen the Starks and the Crips breaking out, not killing everyone, but just
that should have happened earlier too.
Getting through and let them be the ones that she takes down, like gets
sure
their little whatever.
Yeah, her little White Walker step. Also, the whole him not using his superpower until the final like 10 minutes of the episode. Like, come on,
there was
like
a
if
lot
you had raised everybody in the crypt and
choices.
Yeah, it's
like
it was just
let's send the Dothraki
and the whole dragon
horde
fight.
Of undead. Where
oh my god, right whoever planned that battle scene needs to be slapped across the fucking face.
Yeah, I was a little pissed.
Oh, there was no tactics involved.
Off like that, I'm like. You're all dead. Like, that yeah. is dumb. You're gonna be dead?
They traveled across the fucking sea for that.
Yeah. It was... Like, what the fuck, man? Like, she's supposed to bring this super army over to help her take this...
They get destroyed in, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah, they're just wiped out in pitch black, gray, pixelation
cannon fodder.
Just... Awful, awful writing.
But do you understand, like, the first two episodes, like what I was saying, like, with the first two episodes was character development, and it was slow. I mean, you can still do, the first couple of seasons had battles, and they had, like, Battle of the Bastards, which wasn't long ago, it was a couple seasons ago. That's arguably the best battle they've ever done. Why? Because it had character development, and you cared about the people in
it. Even Rickon.
This, it was just... Yeah, no shit. That was a crazy scene. Like, that's the other complaint I had. Not enough people died.
Yeah, there's a lot of,
like, not enough main characters. Oh, Sam should have died 5 or 6 times. Brienne, I thought, was dead multiple times. It was extreme. I'm very curious to see where they go from here, but the whole, like, build-up... It's kind of lost on me at this point. Like, I'm still excited, but I'm not...
I said it to you.
I'm coming at it from
ago,
a different perspective now.
I'm going to say it again. I think they're going to try and throw some fake Jim and Pam drama on us in the final season.
I don't doubt that.
Get us through this fucking story.
They already did it a little bit this past... They're having a tiff... Fucking Jon and Daenerys have been having a tiff since 2 episodes ago, and you're in the middle of a goddamn battle. Like, it's just...
Listen, I get the tiff. There's, you don't want to fuck your aunt. That's fine.
It's just... oh, man. It's becoming what the last season of Game of Thrones was for me, and that's the biggest problem I had, where it was like, the time sinks are fucking outrageous, and...
Come on,
some of these plot armor things that they do, or
miles.
Oh my god! Like I said, the first two episodes of this season got me really excited again because it felt like old Game of Thrones. This episode, although, like I said, from a directorial standpoint, from a doing a battle standpoint, to keep you on the edge of your seat involved for an hour and a half, that's really hard to do. Absolutely.
Arya
it was completely
in the,
tense.
Arya in the library
really well
was
done.
A tense scene that
yep.
was done well. Was
that was great.
Her to get caught multiple times. And then she finally gets to the library, and it's just some other random horde of zombies that find her. I thought that was...
That was really well done. And then with the Hound and what's his name? That I never remember his name. Beric Dondarrion. Yeah, God. Great fucking scene with him too, saving people. Honestly, my favorite part of the episode, that final like 5 to 7 minute music interlude, which this show pulls off so well in like any time they decide to do it. But John just fucking running through and not... Here's a directorial choice I would have made. He ignores everybody to try and get to Bran, which makes sense. When he sees Sam, Don't have him crying on a body, on a pile of dead bodies. Have him dying in front of, like, have John either choose not to help him and keep going, yeah, and then have Sam die in front of him or something
else
like that.
Died right there.
Yeah.
Like,
because that scene was really powerful.
Die right there.
Sure. Fine. Something should have happened during that John journey, though, because they were building it up to be this cool, and it was. It was very well done. But
to win.
It was just, it wasn't, the payoff at the end wasn't there.
I was really hoping that the dragon was going to hit him with the ice.
I hope
fire,
so too.
And he was just going to be,
and nothing was
going to
happen.
There.
Yep.
And it'd been like,
that's what,
oh,
I kind of expected.
Shit. And yeah. No, we didn't get that because
they just dissolved to
awesome.
Dust. Everybody dissolved. It's, they have a lot of work to do in the next couple episodes. They have a lot of killing to do. They have a lot of battles. They have a lot of armies to move very great distances in a very short period of time.
There's teleporters now in the Seven Kingdoms.
So. Oh, yeah, that's right. Everybody can teleport. I forgot about, maybe that's, you know what? Maybe that explains the Arya thing. Everybody has teleportation now. So she just teleported to him, and, like, it was all good.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that's, there's two things left hanging right now that pique my interest. One, the Daenerys Jon thing. I want to see how that kind of resolves itself. And I want to see how the Lannister family resolves itself, being Jaime, Tyrion, and Cersei.
Bronn's gonna,
like,
have something
who dies,
like
who has, who get, yeah, that's what I'm excited for. He's essentially been given the task to kill Jaime and Tyrion. So we'll see.
I think, well, Bronn's gonna side with Jaime and Tyrion.
100%.
Because last season when he was, when the dragons first attacked Jaime's army, and that was,
oh yeah, they had that battle together,
and mm-hmm. Bronn's money spills all over the ground, and he looks at it, but then he looks and sees Jaime's help. He runs and he saves Jaime.
Yeah, Jaime's his boy. They've been together for a long time.
End of season two, right?
And Jaime's always taking good care of him. Yeah,
hey, the
Jaime's
Lannis,
given
Lannis
him
has done a really good job of taking care of Bronn over the years.
But it's always Jaime that seems to be the one doing it. Like, he gave him a wife and a castle, and he gave him all this money.
He,
like, it's always coming from Jaime, not Cersei. No, no, no. When he first, well, he was promised a wife. He was promised a castle. He got his big wife, but he was promised a castle. But yeah, that relationship goes deep. So I will be curious to see where that goes. I wouldn't be surprised if it turns and maybe he tries to kill him. But I would assume that you're right, that he's going to side with the two of them. I mean, I assume if it comes to the actual battle and everybody's still alive, you're going to have Lannisters on both sides facing each other. So that'll be
100%.
Interesting. Also, I hope Cersei kills pirate dude.
Come on,
I really
everyone
don't
loves
like him.
Euron Greyjoy.
Fuck, asshole. I hate him so much. I hope the mountain snaps him in half.
Nah, you know who's going to get him? I'm calling it right now. Daario Naharis is going to get him.
That would actually make sense.
Calling it. Calling my shot. I hope
that'd
I'm
be pretty
right.
Funny. Just appears out of nowhere. That, yeah, that'd be pretty insane.
Yeah, that was the only thing I could think of because, like you mentioned, everyone died, but nobody died.
Right.
Which means that there's 8 people left with a name that we've seen who've had lines on the show, and everyone else is dead. So here we are. We got at least one more war in us before this is over.
I wonder how big that actual battle's going to be.
It's,
or if there's going to be much of one at all.
Yeah. I don't know.
I kind of hope there's not. I hope it's a lot of sneaking around and killing people and just, I want it to be the ending that the show started with, where it's just character development, people being killed. Fuck, the Red Wedding deaths and the Stark deaths at the end of season one. Like, when you have big moments and people just get killed, like, it's not a battle. People just get fucking destroyed. Like, it's so much more impactful. Fuck the arena scene between the Viper and the Mountain. That's probably the most brutal death in the entire show. And that wasn't in a battle. That was in a one-on-one fight between two guys. And that scene was fucking awful to watch.
Viper and the Mountain is no joke.
That's how I want it to end.
At this point, my first attempt at this isn't just send Arya into King's Landing and let her thing.
And we'll She'll sneak past everybody and just slit her throat. It's over.
We'll wait for her to send a raven saying, "I'm on the Iron Throne, bitches." Ridiculous.
By the way, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that Arya is not the one to kill Cersei and save the... that would be going too far, I think.
Bad news for you, man. Cersei's got...
Dude, if they do that, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah, it's, we got three more episodes left. About 4 hours of Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. and then it's over. At least this arc is over. And, I've been one of the book thumpers for years, and the first season, once the books run out and it was just HBO mm-hmm. doing it,
you could feel
I
it.
I could see the cracks, but it was still pretty good. And then the next season, it was like, okay, you still have it. And then last season, it was like, okay, now you're really fucking up, and here we are. And
that coat of paint did not last long, man. No. They shined it up that first year, and then. But you're right, though. You could see the cracks immediately, and it really is. It's them doing their own storylines. Fuck, they're leaving off a bunch of things that happen in the book too.
Oh,
so
hurts my soul,
you're taking a lot of different. Yeah. roots and stuff, man. When those zombies started coming out of the crypts, I got so scared they were gonna try and pull Lady Stoneheart. If they had done that, I probably would have turned off the show.
I would have been so pissed. I you know what
you
I
can't do that in the final three episodes.
I would have been pissed if she would have been there but attacking the people, but if she would have came back and protected them, I would have been pretty fucking pumped.
Yeah, you just can't pull a big storyline like that. That should have happened end of season three. So
yeah, she ends up
beginning of
she
season
shows up
four
the end of book three, which was
right Red Wedding, end of Red Wedding.
Book three ended up going through
beginning of
three
season four
of season four.
I thought book three was the first half of season four, and then it went into book four at the second half. Look, just give us the last couple episodes the way the show started. Character development, and you did this whole glorious battle that the public lost their minds about. So fine, good. You've impressed the fans. Now give us what this was meant to be, and that's real character drama and an actual payoff. That's all I want.
I checked Twitter about 2 hours after the show when Arya was trending number one worldwide at like 1.5 million tweets.
Yes. Like, that's second week in a row now.
Even if you were avoiding spoilers, and you just
it's impossible.
You're just like 1.5 million people are talking about Arya. Fuck. something happened. Insane. Oh shit.
It's. I mean, this show has become. You said it a couple weeks ago when we first started talking about it that this is probably the largest.
This has got to be the biggest
entertainment phenomenon in a while.
Fucking what? Seinfeld, maybe? Just
TV show wise.
Yeah,
I mean, probably of this iconic.
Just
entertainment
wise, I mean, this is
well when the Star Wars
man.
Movies came out, that was a pretty big deal. Yeah, no, this is huge.
Oh,
this
was
just
huge to Star Wars fans. This is pulling in people from all walks of life. This
that's
is ridiculous.
True. Yeah. It is. It's pretty nuts that this has made as big of an impact as it has. Now that they're going in this direction, I'm happy they're ending it when they're ending it. But if they had done proper writing, I feel like the show's not over yet. So maybe they'll prove me wrong.
Why
but
not,
this past episode,
I'm bashing it, but I'm not
100%. It just left such a bad taste in my mouth. Like I said, the first two, and I think it's more because the first two episodes got me so excited. that they were going back to like the old style, and then this third episode was just a clusterfuck of last season.
Yeah,
and
well,
it reminded me of the issues that they have.
Well, hopefully they'll have another dumb battle in place, because,
and even if they do, hopefully it doesn't take center stage, because that's not what's important anymore.
Just let the dragon go burn everybody alive. Who cares at this point?
Yeah, what are they going to do with that? Yeah, like, what? They have a dragon. Cersei doesn't. Like, what? What are they going to do? They have two dragons and they have Arya, which is arguably a win. Like, what? They have three dragons. I don't... They're going to have to... That's what concerns me.
Arya killed an entire family by serving
the
two sons to the father and then poisoning everybody else and then laughed about it.
Yeah, that too.
Their faces.
She's a ruthless bitch at this point. I mean, they're going to have to pull... I don't know what Cersei has on her side at this point to combat what's about to... Unless, like, the maester pulls out some crazy spell or some shit that, like... nullifies dragon.
I don't trust him at all.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do, but it feels like at this point all of the power... I understand that the whole point of Cersei doing this and not coming to the aid was to wipe out most of the Starks. So fine, you just don't have a lot of manpower on the Stark side anymore, but you do have two dragons in Arya.
Yep.
So that's more than a couple thousand man army is going to do on Cersei's side, from what we've been shown by the show to be more powerful. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting end, that's for sure.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, you can pay attention again. Are you ever gonna? You just aren't interested in fantasy right?
I don't know. The wife watches the show, but she's waiting for it to all be over so she can binge.
Be over
at least this
she's
season.
Brave.
I mean,
she's so brave.
You should.
Not me.
If you like
this season,
character to
day one watching this.
Well, right. Well. Yeah, but if she hasn't seen any of it and she's just seeing names on Twitter,
I mean,
by the time
she
watches it, it won't matter.
The closest to social media she goes on is Reddit, so it's pretty easy to dodge anything.
Well, Reddit's
Game of Thrones. Just don't read anything from a Game of Thrones subreddit.
I guess, yeah.
But either way, like, I don't know. You were talking about like backlogs. Like my TV backlog is something just like I just keep adding shows to. Like I just started watching Designated Survivor the other day on a whim, and now I'm totally hooked.
I heard that was
pretty
good.
Damn good. Like
I actually heard
it's pretty good. So now it's like, oh great, here's another show I'm like absolutely hooked on, and so much for watching anything else and getting caught up on other stuff because there's.
You know what I would say to you? You have a month to do it. It's May 31st that it premieres. You have three seasons. Watch Deadwood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The movie's out. So.
Honestly, just, like, drop everything and watch Deadwood. It's one of the best shows ever made.
I'll back him on this. Deadwood's amazing.
I mean, I can watch it after the movie comes out.
It's three seasons. Yeah, sure. But make it a priority to put Deadwood in your queue sooner than later. I'm so excited for that movie. It's the season four we never got, and damn, does that trailer look good. I'm so fucking excited for that. I love that show.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's the writing on it is ridiculously over the top, and just all the little monologues everyone gets. It's just so amazing.
The characters are so good. The set design is incredible. It's all practical effects. Like, it's so good. And now we're getting season four 10 years later. Or more than that. Is it 2005?
It's been a while. It's been a long time.
Jesus. Yeah.
If you guys do want to watch something funny, that show on Netflix, I Think You Should Leave, with Tim Robinson.
I haven't even heard of that.
It's pretty funny.
Show. We'll check it out.
Watch just the first episode. It kind of goes downhill from there. It was really hit or miss.
That's unfortunate.
The first episode is pretty funny.
Okay. All right. I didn't even know they had a sketch show.
Baby of the Year sketch is one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. Check it.
All right. add that to the list. Right. But yeah, that is going to do it for this week's episode. Jake, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at FetTheAssassin.
Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
And you can find me on Twitter at Just Survive, on Twitch at The Just Survive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWM Pod. You can also visit our website at NWMPod.com, which has links to all of our contact info, links to all of our past episodes, and of course you can subscribe to our show there on iTunes, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher Radio, or your podcast app of choice, which we always ask, go and write us a review and let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week we thank you for listening. And until next time, take care.
Peace.
See you.
Bye.